it stated a lot of statistics, you know, that about 58 million people with Americans are here with disabilities. You know, unfortunately, I'm sure that that number has gone up just because of people who get older or because of injuries. We have vets, you know, different reasons. So I'm sure that that number has gone up as far as number of people with disabilities. However, I pray that the number for the divorce rate has, I pray that that's gone down. And we just have to believe God that, you know, God has, a place for each one. You know, he came that all would come to know him and that all could be used and be used in the kingdom of God. You know, Special Touch Ministry has been around for over 30 years. And the vision for Special Touch Ministry is to ease and enrich the lives of those impacted by disability. And, you know, we think of the word impacted by disability, that includes more than just the person that has the disability. That includes their family, their friends, people that they may come in contact with every day, you know, are all impacted by disability. And so it's there to, you know, Special Touch Ministry is there to ease and enrich the lives of everyone that would be impacted and so that they would come to know Jesus Christ. And under that umbrella, what I sense the Lord putting in my heart is to reach and encourage and empower people with disabilities. And to not only share with you how you as a church can minister to those with disabilities, which I can see that you already are doing, and I thank you for that, is not only to see how people with you can minister to them, but how those of us with disabilities can minister to you, the church. You know, God has a great plan, and he wants to use everyone that's available. You know, that's what he calls for. And that the video that I showed, the one young man that was on there, his name is Mike, the one Michael that had his thumbs up, and he's with the Lord now. He's been with the Lord a couple years, and a couple of the people have gone, but you know the message is still the same, and the goal and the vision is still the same for Special Touch. About a little over a year ago, we had Special Touch Ministry. They talked about the getaways. And so back in May of 2018, we had our Wisconsin getaway. And at that time, for this past year, there's always a theme. And this past year, the theme has been chosen. And it comes out of 1 Peter 2. 9 and 10, where we are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And so during this year that, like I said, it's been the theme in all of the curriculum that we do, they talked about chapters and how chapters, what they are, is the community aspect and the discipleship aspect of Special Touch. You know, you have the getaways that people go to once a year. And sometimes it's the first time that people have encountered Jesus with a disability. And they're so excited and they're on fire. And then they leave for that 1 week. After that 1 week, and go to their community. And there's nothing there for them. Nothing to continue that growth in that process and that fellowship with others. And that's where chapters come in, and chapters to start in the community. And they're to be marketplace ministry. And so it usually is housed in a community setting, not a church setting, but we do encourage churches to have a disability group within their church too. And the chapter is reaching out to the community. And so we haven't reached 1,000, and that's the goal, but we have a few. We have two in Wisconsin So we need to, we will, I would encourage, you know, to have those. You can have that. All we need is people that are on the same page and want us to reach their community with, of disability. And if you have questions, you can always ask me and I can let you know. We have one in Milwaukee. I lead that one in the Milwaukee area. And along with, there's like at least 15 more of us that are there too, and we work together and we meet once a month. And then there was someone that, Nancy Malik, that talked on the video. She is the president of the Beaver Dam. There's one in Beaver Dam, in the Beaver Dam area. So that's a little bit about us. And then coming up just next week Monday, actually, the 19th, next, as Pastor mentioned, next Sunday is Disability Awareness Sunday in the Assemblies of God. So I am thankful that, to the Assemblies of God, to have a Sunday that that awareness to people with disabilities. Because, you know, God came to reach each of us. And, you know, he comes for every single nation, tribe, and tongue. And disability touches every single culture. So that's reaching every nation, tribe, and tongue. And so, so next Sunday is that. So that's encouraging. And then on Monday, starting Monday that week, is the Special Touch Wisconsin Getaway. And it's going to be held in Westboro, Wisconsin, which is, I'm not sure how far that is from here. Not too far, right? I think it's pretty close. And so anyway, so it's Westboro, Wisconsin. And so, and it's a brand new facility for us. So it's going to be a new experience. So that's a little bit of what Special Touch is about, and about what we do. And so what I would love to share with you, what I, like, again, what I believe God put in, has put in my heart, is to not share not only how those of us can reach out to those with disabilities, but how those of us with disabilities can reach out to you, the church. And, you know, God gave me a verse as I started doing this, and it's in 1 Corinthians 12:22. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, that chapter, especially the second half, talks about the body and how the body and the parts of the body working together to accomplish the goal, and to, and how each member of the body needs each other to accomplish what God has has for them. And as I was reading 12:2 to the end of the chapter, I in verse 22, there's a verse and it just like stuck out to me. And this is the verse that I would love to bounce from. And it's verse 22. It's talking about how the hand, the ear can't say to the eye, I don't, you know, I don't need you. The eye, the hand can't say to the mouth, I don't need you. You know, every part works together. And in verse 22, it says, in fact, some of the parts of the body that seem to be the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Yeah. They're actually the most necessary. So this year, what's interesting is this year the theme for Special Touch is handmade. So we're handmade by God. And that's out of Ephesians 2, the verse that the key verse is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And so I'd like to share with you some examples in the Bible that God has of people that the world would not expect to be used to accomplish what God, God's goals. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1:27-29, it talks about how God uses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to go there. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. It says, instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Amen. God, we just give you this time now. We just thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your ways are higher than our ways. Lord, I just pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the first example that I wanted to use as I was getting ready, putting things together, is it's in 2 Kings chapter 5. And when you have, I mean, if you want to go, you can, but I'm just going to give you the account. And, you know, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we find the account, this is Naaman who had leprosy. And he was very influential. And he was a colonel, and he was very prevalent, but yet he had leprosy. And we find the account of an unnamed servant girl being used to bring about the healing of her master, Naaman. And it's interesting because she was a servant girl, and she was taken from her people. She was taken from her people by the Ammonites, I believe, and at the time, I just read that this morning, and given as a slave to Naaman's wife. And she saw that Naaman was suffering from this disease. And so she says to her mistress, he goes, I wish that Naaman would go, my master would go and talk to the man of God in the town, because then he could be healed of his leprosy. And that just started a whole event, a whole process of events that led to his healing. And you know, what really sticks out to me there is that Naaman told, when he went to the king, Naaman went. He took that advice and he went. And when he went to the king, he told the king what the girl had told him. Not what his wife told him, but what the girl had said. And so what happens? He goes to the king, and he goes to Elijah, and he goes and follows what Elijah told him. And then what happens? He's healed. So it's an unnamed servant girl that is used by God to bring about such a healing for him. So that's someone that we could just read over. But God, it was important. Another person in the Bible that we wouldn't expect to be used by God in such a powerful way is Rahab. Rahab, and her account is in Joshua 2, 1 to 24. So, you know, you can look at that. And she was known in the city where she lived, Rahab, but not for a very positive reason. She was known. And so she had to be kind of in hiding. And she was in hiding with her people, with her family. But yet God used her. He used her to hide spies, to hide the spies of the Israelites, so that they could conquer the land that God had promised them, right? And he saved her and her family because of what she did. And that's an unlikely person. And where do we see Rahab? This is not rhetorical. You can answer this. So where do we find Rahab later? Where do we find her mentioned later? In whose lineage? Jesus. Yep, Jesus. Yep. Jesus, our Savior. Yeah. So God took someone that the world would least expect. And then later on, she's an ancestor of our Savior. That's pretty powerful. So, the Israelites conquered the land, and then she becomes one of his ancestors. And we can't forget Moses, right? Moses, he was used in a powerful way. Yet God had to work with him because he had a disability, right? He had a disability. He couldn't talk very good. And so he argued with God. He's like, oh, I can't talk. What am I going to say? They're not going to listen to me because I stutter. And they won't understand me. And I don't know what to do. And what did God say to him? We find that in Exodus 4. So he says God, he had all kinds of excuses for why he couldn't be used. And God didn't accept those excuses, did he? He called him to a burning bush and then gave him the instructions. So it says, it's starting, I'm going to start with, I'm going to start at verse 8. So the Lord says to Moses, if they do not believe you and are not convinced, because he was asking, how are they going to believe me? By the first miraculous sign, which was his staff, and throwing his staff down, they will be convinced by the second sign. If they don't believe you or listen to you, even after these two signs, then you're going to take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with my words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? And who decides whether do people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses pleaded again, Lord, please send anyone else. Then the Lord became kind of angry with Moses. He became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. You can talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with you both as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. So, as you see here, Moses had excuses not to follow what God wanted him to. God had solutions. Yeah. And what happens? God used Moses to lead a whole nation out of captivity. And, you know, if God can use them, he can use anyone. He can use you. He can use me. You know, God doesn't see our ability or our disability. He's looking for our availability. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes there's times I wonder, God, what would you do? How can you use so many people? And yet God's ways, like I said before, are higher than our ways, aren't they? And we don't always understand what's going on. And so, you know, just like he used Moses and this unnamed servant girl and Rahab to fulfill his promise and his purposes, he also decided to use a young woman who was born with a disability, spina bifida, and who lived with her parents until she was 5 years old, and then went into the foster care system at five. And in the foster care system, she was there until she was 18 years old. And during that time in the second foster home that she came to know Jesus. And at 7 years old, and he lived with them until she was 14 years old. And at that point, because of her behavior, she had to move on to another home. And so she moved with her parents, or her relatives, her godparents, in Milwaukee, until at age 14, and she lived with them for a couple of years. And at that time, you know, my the person that God is I'm speaking of is myself. I'm Nilda. And so when I was 14, it's really easy, you know, when your family and those around you aren't living as Christians, and they weren't. They came from a mainline denomination, and you know, and so it's really easy to fall and just follow the footsteps of everyone else. And so when I was 14 years old, that's what happened. I backslid for 10 years. And unfortunately, during those 10 years, it was tough. There was, you know, there was abuse. Unfortunately, in my first foster home that I was in, there was physical and emotional abuse. And then in the second foster family, I remember thinking, wow, they are so nice. Wow, I couldn't get over how nice they are. Well, I come to find out that they were believers. They knew Jesus. And they were actually home missionaries in the neighborhood that they lived in. So they'd have these life groups. And I remember one day that, actually it was the day after I moved in there, they were having a life group, and people were singing and dancing and crying. And I remember thinking, I was just like, wow, I didn't understand what was going on. And somebody came up to me and they asked me, he says, you're probably wondering what's going on, don't you? And I said, yeah. And he began to tell me about Jesus and about his love for me. And so that's when I gave my heart to him. And then, like I said, when I was 14, I backslid. And then I moved out on my own when I was 18 years old. And when I was 24, I had gotten to a point where I was that feeling the lonely, unwanted girl that I was when I first went into the foster care. And so it was God that was knocking on my door, and I knew that. And so at age 24, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And, you know, God promises that, you know, he promises parents that, you know, train a child in the way they should go. And when they were older, they won't turn from it. And I'll never forget how when I had given, after I rededicated my life to the Lord, that all these different scriptures that I remember, I know, learning as a little girl, came back to me. And so I graduated from high school, and after high school, I just went to did some training, job training kind of things, and it's really interesting because it was in October of 1991 that I rededicated my life to the Lord, and in March of 1992, I began working for Milwaukee County, the county that I live in. And I've been there since, so I thank the Lord for that, for his sustaining power, because in March I just celebrated 27 years with the county. So, and then in 2007, I was taking classes through Urban Bible Training Center, and then just Urban Bible Training Center. And in 2007, I became certified through the Assemblies of God as a minister. And then through different and wisdom that I received from my pastor at the time, I was encouraged to continue to the next level in credentialing. And I remember thinking, okay, I don't want to go back to school. But I'm like, okay. But I was like, Lord, if you want me to do this, I will. And he made it very clear. So in 2012, I received my license level of credential with the Assemblies of God. And in 2013 is when I became a missionary associate with Special Touch Ministry. And so there's a lot of times where I wonder, you know, sometimes I'm like, God, you've always been with me. And sometimes I think, you know, who am I that you would love me so much to use me? So if you can turn the first one, please. I'm going to share a song with you now, okay? That God, that kind of shares that.
Over time you've healed so much in me, and I am living proof that although my darkest hour had come, your light could still shine through. Though
God is good. And you know, God was always there, you know, with me. And I, you know, and even though there were times where I didn't feel it, and I'm sure just like Moses too, and Rahab, and this unnamed servant girl that felt like they were wondering, like, where was God? Where were you? That, especially as sometimes I think of Moses, especially when those, when the Israelites were not, you know, were giving him a hard time. When the Israelites were giving a hard time, and then when Pharaoh, when he went in front of Pharaoh, and, you know, and then all the plagues, you know, I'm sure he questioned, where is God? But, you know, God was always there, and God was always protecting him, because they wouldn't have come out of Egypt if God wasn't protecting him behind the scenes. And so I would encourage you that, again, going back to what, to remember that the ones that we think are the weakest in our congregation or in our midst are actually the most important and the most necessary. And I can see that you already have those, you know, in your congregation, that you embrace people with disabilities. And I'm thankful for that. And sometimes we may ask ourselves, when we go through moments too, that we don't understand what was going on, is God, where were you? But God is there. And I know that I can say, and I'm sure Moses can say, and this young servant girl, and Rahab, who ended up being the ancestor to Jesus, that God had always been there, and that not for a moment had he forsaken them. And I'd like to end with one last song, and that's what it is. It's the promise that not for a moment had God forsaken us.
Reaching through the storm, walking on the water, even when I could not see. In the middle of it all, when I thought you were a thousand miles away, not for a moment did you forsake me, not for a forsake me. After all, you are constant. After all, you are only good. After all, you are sovereign. Not for a moment will you forsake. Singing in the dark, whispering your promise, even when I could not hear. I was held in your arms, carried for a thousand miles to shore. Not for a moment will you forsake me. After all, every tear, every cry, every even when it's hard, you will never leave me. After all, you are constant. After all, you are only good. After all, you are sovereign. Not for a moment will you forsake me. Not for a moment will you forsake me. Not for a moment will you forsake me.
God, we just thank you, God, that you will not leave us or forsake us. God, you are sovereign and you are good and you are above all. God, we just pray, God, for your goodness and your mercies. I pray for Calvary here in Wilson, that you continue to bless them and keep them, Lord. Provide their every need. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you and your church family.
Right here, so we can pray for you if you like. Nellie, you were an inspiration, and thank you for sharing. And not only was she an inspiration, she was a challenge, I thought. We're going to continue our messages on spiritual gifts next week, and guess what? We don't have an excuse, right, when we discover our gifts and that God has blessed us with, that we are to bless others with. We won't have an excuse. I don't know if you've ever heard of David Ring. Have you heard of David Ring, the evangelist? I'll never forget a video that I saw. How many of you have ever heard of David Ring? He's got cerebral palsy. He preached a powerful message. And he kept saying during that message, "I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" And you are an inspiration, and God bless you. I would like for the ushers to come. We'll receive an offering for her today. If you're making a checkout, you make it to the church and we'll just write out one check. And also, I would, after we receive the offering, if you guys want to just count the offering later and come back in here, we like to pray for our missionaries, so we want to give that opportunity to gather around her today and just pray for her. But let's ask the blessing on this offering and Nilda's ministry. Lord, we thank you for your interest in all people. And I thank you for the Assemblies of God. And it's your desire to use this movement. And this movement touches lives in every situation and circumstance of life, it seems. You call ministries, you call missionaries to all people groups. And we thank you for that. We are a part of that. Thank you that Nilda's a part of that and the special touch ministry that's nationwide but also centered here in our district, Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless her and use her. You'd watch over her as she travels and speaks. Lord, that you would fulfill the desires of her heart and her burden for ministry that you have given her. We just ask that we could bless her now with this offering, that she in turn could bless others. And Lord, if there's anything else that you would lay up on our heart to do, Lord, that we would be willing to do it. And Lord, that we would be willing to serve you despite what we might think are our limitations. Because as Nilda said today, it's not our ability, it's our availability. We just want to make ourselves available to you today. And thank you for that lesson that has been brought to us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you guys want to receive the offering, and then whoever would like to come and gather around Nilda this morning and pray for her before we're dismissed, you can even come now. We'll take this opportunity.